You've tuned in to Where the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This program is brought to you by His Will Ministry. Are you hungry for more of Jesus? Are you hungry for God's Word, for righteousness and holiness? Our aim is to point you to Jesus. Your investment in His Will Ministry helps to spread God's Word around the world through this radio program and other outreaches. Our website is HisWillMinistry.org, or you can email questions and comments about this ministry or God's Word. Please let us hear your testimonies or how God is using this program to bless you. Email to info@HisWillMinistry.org. Thank you, and here's Pastor Warner.
The Holy Spirit loves us so much and wants to be there for us. God does the same thing. And this is why sometimes we have to wait. We can't see what it is. We look at this short little story in John, and we can count a dozen miscommunications that were either caused because they weren't close enough to Jesus, or they were caused because their faith had waned, or were caused because they just didn't see what was happening. But God had a purpose in them waiting. And Jesus kept trying to tell them the purpose all the way along, didn't he? But they wouldn't listen. God does that to sometimes. Sometimes when God has us waiting, He will send people to tell us. And we don't listen. It's like Mary and I with the ministry. Probably close to 6 months ago now, we got a letter telling us from a pastor in Texas that God was going to open up doors we couldn't dream of, show us ways and create them that never existed. Well, the next Sunday we ran into a guy with a radio station in Montana. The following week we ran into a guy that owns the radio station in Pinedale. Our short-sightedness, we're going to get on radio. Guess what? We never got on radio. But now we're worldwide because of the website on the internet. We minister to ministries in Africa and the Philippines. But our little teeny narrow blinders couldn't see that. It's the same thing with this story. Their little narrow blinders couldn't see that Jesus had a point here. That Jesus wanted to teach them something. All they saw was, hey, like I did when I was a young Christian. Doesn't he care about Lazarus? He let him die. And that was the whole point of everybody. Finally, the last word is, the Jews that saw this believed on him. I.e., the whole point that God had from the very beginning, that God and Jesus be glorified thereby, took place. It only took 3 days, but it took place. God has reasons for making us wait. And I praise God when they're short waits. Mary and I, He took us and put us in a desert for 7 years. 7 years of no church fellowship. 7 years of working basically 7 days a week. 7 years of the only fellowship we had was each other and His Word. But in that 7 years, He taught us many things and revealed many things and brought us so close to Him. And I can't count how many times I cried out, why? Because God had given us a vision. Before He put us in this desert, He gave us a specific vision. And this is how God works. I don't know if I ever told you this vision. I think I did. But we were coming back from a study area where we like to study, where we love to be. And on the way back, God spoke to both of us individually. And have you ever done that with your spouse or a friend? You look at them and say, did you hear that? And they look back, did you hear that? And you look back. You know, no one wants to open their mouth and say it. And then finally I said, well, the Lord just told me we were going to live out of a travel trailer and travel and work for Him. And Mary just almost fell over because she had heard the exact same thing at the exact same minute that I did. So we immediately put our house up for sale and started looking for a travel trailer. Nothing. there wasn't a travel trailer to be handled anywhere. And nobody wanted our house. You couldn't sell our house if you tried. We were so discouraged. Our faith was going, I mean, it was taking a nosedive. It couldn't have gone any further. And then one day a friend of mine said, hey, Jay, why don't you and Mary go up to the Baptist church? There's a couple that does what God told you to do. Because, of course, we told everybody what God wanted us to do. And then we're standing around going, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. So we go up to this Baptist church. It's a couple. They have a travel trailer, a Suburban. They travel around preaching different churches. All right, cool. We're listening to them. We're really being fed. And afterwards, you know how evangelists do. Well, he's got the tapes and everything. He was back there. We walk up and look at the tapes, and he walks up to Mary and I. And he says, you know, I don't know how to tell you this, but God has laid this on my heart. And we're like, yes, yes, yes. And he says, God told me to tell you, it's in His time. He says, I don't know what that means, but He wants you to know it's in His time. You know what that did for our faith? It boosted it. Because we knew. We did hear God. He did give us a vision. We're still back ready to go in His time. It took 7 years in the desert of training for His time. I praise God, Lazarus was only in the grave 4 days. I mean, you can imagine what would have been left of him after 7 years. But it took 7 years to build the team of my wife and I that he built. That's when God wants you to wait. Yes, he spoke to us many times in that 7 years. Yes, he's still speaking to us. But you know what? It's been... well, about 8 years now, 7.5 years since he really pushed the ministry and got it going. He gave us that ministry we have. But he still says to me, almost on a daily basis, wait. Rest in me and wait. It's my timing, not yours. See, I champ at the bit. You can ask my wife. I'm ready to go do anything he wants. I'm ready to go anywhere, do anything God wants. I'm off. Just send me. So God constantly has to say the same thing to me. Wait. And there's been many days. Many days things have happened that we couldn't understand. God put us on hold and made us wait. And my lovely prayer warrior, I love her, she goes before the throne of God. And God says, just tell them it's me. That's it. That's all she got. Not where we're going, not what we're doing. Just tell them I'm in charge. God has been working on us. Let's look in Habakkuk. Don't you love that one? Habakkuk, chapter 2. I love this one. This one God gave me years ago. If you can't find Habakkuk, he's hidden in the minor prophets, almost at the end of the Old Testament. If you get to Daniel, take a turn, go back a little further. If you get to Malachi, you went too far, turn around and come back. But chapter 2, verse 1. Anybody found him? Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1. If you have my Bible, it's page 1372, but I kind of doubt too many of you do. Since I have bad eyes, I have a large print Bible. you with me here? Chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And then the Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision, and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end of it shall speak, and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Has God given you a vision, whether it's for this church or your personal life, and you wonder where it went? When God gave us that vision, that was the verse that He gave me. He said, it will come. Though it tarries, it will come. Do you have a vision for this church? Do you have a vision? Has God given you a vision? Or is it just here? If God has given you a vision, His Word is true. It will come. You know, one thing God always does, I love, He reveals things to me. They're so simple. How many of you claim God's Word? And claim it as the absolute truth, knowing it will be the absolute truth. The first introduction we have to Jesus, after we get through the begat, and we get a little information about His birth, first introduction we get of Jesus is, He gets baptized, the Spirit comes down, He's taken out into the wilderness. After 40 days, the devil comes and tempts Him. After 40 days, He's hungry. And the devil comes up and says, hey, you're hungry? You're the Son of God. There's some stones. Make some bread out of them. What does Jesus say? It is written. Man does not live by bread alone. Now notice, this is so powerful that Satan then turns around and takes Jesus to the top of the tallest tower, tallest cliff, says, jump off. For it is written. See? Satan turns it right around. It is written. And then Jesus, in the last place, does it again. He says, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God and no one else. See, right here, chapter 2, it is written. For the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it will tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. It is written. You got a vision that God has given you, it will happen. You will have to wait, but it will happen. Now God's going to expect you to do some things. During that waiting time, if He gives you a vision, He expects you to prepare. The 7 years we were in the wilderness, He expected us to prepare. We studied the Word. We ate the Word. We devoured the Word. I mean, we were in the middle of nowhere on an oil well. I got up at 5 o'clock, 4:30, did my work, and usually after breakfast from about 10 o'clock till who knows when, we studied the Word. We read the Word. We devoured the Word. We accepted the Word. And here it is how many years later, and God just spoke to me the other day saying, what do you think those words "it is written" means? It's so powerful, Satan uses them. But He expects you to do something. You have a vision for this church? Make it alive. Make it alive. Spend the time. Whatever you think it needs. If you think it needs a different color on the pink eaves, make it a different color. You think the weeds need mowed down? Get rid of them. That sign needs lit up? Get rid of it. The four-wheeler that's parked right in front of the front steps, if somebody comes to visit, they're going to see that. And probably go away. See what I'm saying? If you have a vision, and God has given you it, prepare for it. I don't know what your vision is. I really don't. I've only ministered to you guys like 5 times, so I don't have enough hold on what's in your hearts yet. God has brought us here for a reason. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's to help you rebuild this church. Maybe it's to help go out into the community. Maybe it's just to encourage you. But He says right here, it is written. If you have a vision, and I know Tara does. I see her vision when she's up there leading songs. In the back of her mind, she can see full pews. In the back of her mind, she can hear 100 voices raising praises to God. Because I can see it in her eyes. But if you just take the vision and sit on it, it won't go anywhere. That's what happened in chapter 11 of John. Every one of those people that Jesus ran into had a vision. Yes, Master, you can raise Lazarus. Well, I know He'll raise at the resurrection. If you'd been here, He wouldn't be dead. He stinketh. I mean, all the way to the point where Jesus calls him out, then he's standing there. Jesus still has to tell him, hello, unbind him, he's alive. I mean, all the way to where they're seeing the dead guy stand. See how our faith, as human beings, we find so many ways of walking away from it. We find so many ways of doing this. The faith is over here and we're like this. Well, I think I see it. No, I don't. Yeah, and that's what everybody in this story did. Read that and read it again and see how Jesus had to let someone he loved die, go to heaven and be with the Father. You know, you know that had to hurt Jesus' heart more than anything else in the world to know that that man was in heaven with the Father and bring him back. I mean, that would have been, to me, the hardest thing in the world. You know, as an evangelist and a man of God, I'd have no real problem raising somebody that's dead if I knew they weren't saved. I'd have no problem at all as long as the Holy Spirit allowed it. But man, unless God directed it, I'd have a real hard time. My favorite old evangelist, I don't know if you guys have ever read of him, was Smith Wigglesworth. Lived in the 1800s, very early 1900s. His wife died when he was 65 years old. She was sick, and he went out and preached at a meeting. And when he got home, they told him it was too late. He went upstairs and was so consumed with passion and love for his wife, he fell on his knees and just started supplicating to God, bring her back to me, bring her back to me, bring her back to me. She rose from the dead long enough to open up her eyes and look at him and say, Smith, I love you, but it's not right. It's my time. Don't do this. And his heart didn't want to let go of her. But an angel of the Lord said, it's her time. She must come home to me. And he let go. Because he knew where she was going. And he tells in his later memoirs, he never remarried. And he calls himself the loneliest man in the world. And he says, nobody ever really saw me. But he says, you don't know how many nights I would just spend weeping before the Lord, because I had to let go of the love of my life. But I know soon I will close my eyes and be with her. See, to me, that's why Jesus wept. Jesus knew where Lazarus was, and he didn't want to bring him back. He knew where he was. Just like Smith knew where his wife was, but Smith loved his wife so much, he had to say goodbye. And he did. They kissed each other, and he said goodbye. And she closed her eyes and died. That's the kind of God I serve. I'm going to close on Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28. Again, back to our waiting. And this, for us old coots, this is a good verse, okay? This is a good verse because it tells about the youth here. And this is a good verse. Verse 28, chapter 40 of Isaiah. Thou hast not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not or grow tired? Let's get that. Have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God and Lord of creation never faints or gets weary? There is no searching his understanding. See, that's where we get in trouble. We try to understand, why me, Lord? Why is this happening? Why must I wait? What does he say here? There is no searching his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and them that have no might he gives strength. Even the youth shall grow faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You know what? I'm a 49-year-old guy that weighs probably by now 300, 325 pounds. According to the health regulations, statistics, and everything else, I have high blood pressure, I have hardening arteries, I'm waiting to have a stroke. Guess what? Last time they did my blood chemistry, perfect. Why? Because I wait upon the Lord. Now I grant you, it would be really intelligent of me to get some of this fat off. Okay? You should never press your luck with God. But my point is, He says here that if you will wait, He'll renew your strength, you'll mount up with wings as eagles. You know what that means? Your joy is going to be so full, you're going to be so uplifted, it'll be as if you're flying like an eagle. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to come in here and see Tara standing up there in this building absolutely filled? Wouldn't it be great to be singing praises to the Holy Ghost and have the Holy Ghost come down in here so full, so powerful, that all you could do is weep and praise God? It says it can happen right here. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Last week we talked about being one with Jesus. And if you're one with Jesus, you know there's times you have to wait. You may not understand, but you have to wait. And as I said earlier, I don't know if God's given everyone here a common vision. And as I said last week, I don't know if everyone has that common hope. You want this building to be full? Get to work. Get down on your knees. Come together as one. Fill these altars with tears before the Lord. And I guarantee He'll hear you. I absolutely, positively, 100% guarantee He'll hear you. You can take that to the bank. That's a guarantee. God never ignores our prayers. Never. Now, it may take a while before you get an answer, but if you're stubborn enough not to give up and you start praying back these scriptures right here that says, "You've given me a vision, God, and I know it's going to tarry, but I shall not faint. I will wait for it. It is Your word. It is written." If it's good enough for Jesus to say, "It is written," if it's good enough for Satan to say, "It is written," then it's good enough for a pastor to say, "It is written. The dead shall rise again. The sick shall be healed." It is written. It is God's word and it is true. We are powerful people if we'll let ourselves be. But anytime a wall comes up, anytime we have to wait, we're like that seed that was tossed out on the rocky ground. We sprout up, we dance and sing a little bit, the sun gets hot, and we wither and die. How deep are your roots? Because it takes deep roots to wait. It takes really deep roots to wait on God. Because you have to trust God more than yourself. You want this church full? If He's given you that vision that that's what's going to happen to this church, don't let go of it first. One, don't let go. Two, be prepared to wait however long He says. Three, start working towards that goal. Because you know what I've found? God can't fill a building till the building's ready to be full. We've been in so many churches that are wanting a revival, praying for a revival. You know, the saddest thing I ever heard was a pastor in the assemblies came back from a conference. And there was a pastor there that was preaching about revival. And you know what he told all those pastors? "You don't want revival." And they're like, "What? You don't want revival because you don't know the headaches it's going to bring." Now, with that attitude, do you think he'd ever get another revival? Uh-uh. But you know, that pastor who had been preaching and wanting revival came back to that church and preached a sermon that next Sunday saying, "We don't want a revival because we're not prepared." God won't fill a house unless it's prepared to be full. And that's the bottom line. It's a harsh word, but it's the truth. God will not fill a house unless it's ready to be full. And I'm talking about even your physical body and your heart and soul. God will not fill this unless it's ready to be filled. If there's something inside your heart that you refuse to let go of, whether it's bitterness about a relationship, whether somebody hurt you, whether it's a preconceived notion about how God fits in this little box you've created, whether it's, I belong to this denomination and all the rest of them are going to hell because they don't believe the way I do, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, we laugh, but I know there's some groups out there, and I've been told by one of them, because I wasn't baptized the way they told me I should have been, I'm unsaved. Well, somebody better tell God about that, because I don't think He knows that one yet. But if that's in here, He can't fill this. And if He can't fill this, He can't fill that. We have to prepare. If you have a vision, prepare for it. Wait upon the Lord. Those that waited upon the Lord and stayed around Jesus, even though they kept saying, Lord, if you'd been here, He would have raised from the dead. Hey, Lord, we're going to go die with Him. We're okay on that. Even though they said, hey, you know, He's just asleep. Let Him sleep. Maybe He'll get better. Even though the woman said, I know He'll come back in the resurrection. Even though they all got off track, they were all there when the stone rolled aside and when Lazarus came out. They didn't give up on the vision. The vision was here that they could see that Lazarus would live again. They misinterpreted it all the way along, but they kept holding on to it. They kept grabbing it. Each time they screwed up, they grabbed it again. Okay, I know You can do this, Lord. I know You can do this, Lord. I know You can do this. And the next thing it was standing right in front of their face. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It has happened to me. I went from a Christian that started out running a sound system and always felt a call to preach. And I never knew why I had a call to preach. Until about 4 years ago, my mom told me the reason I had that call is my grandfather's final prayer was that I'd be a preacher because none of his sons were. He was a Methodist missionary, but that was his final prayer. And God has taken me from humble beginnings to humble here. We now have a worldwide ministry. And I don't mean we as in Mary and I. I mean we as in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost have a worldwide ministry in which they use us. Because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. This building doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Him. Your hearts do not belong to you. They belong to Him. It's up to you how much of them you're going to give Him. If you give Him all of your heart, you know as well as I do, you're going to be like that 13-year-old kid that's going to wake up in heaven and go see Jesus. You don't give Him your heart, you're going to be like that other half that wakes up in hell. And it's just not a pretty place from what I understand. I praise God He's never sent me to hell or never let me see hell. I think it would scare me to death, so to speak. But everybody I've ever read about that's been there is not somewhere you want to go. You'll be more alive than you've ever been in your life. You think you're alive now if you stick your hand over a stove and feel that heat? You don't know what alive is. Give everything to God. Give your vision to God. Open this up and throw out the garbage and give it to Jesus. And you'll see miracles happen. Miracles like you could never conceive. Healings, signs, wonders. I mean, things that just will boggle your mind. You know, every time God expands Mary and I's vision of how big He is, all it does is make us realize how big He is and how little we understand. God has His best interests of you in here, in His heart, in His soul. He loves you. He loves you more than your husband does, or your wife, more than your kids ever can. And if He gave you a vision, hold on to it no matter how long it takes you to wait. Hold on to it and prepare for it. Get prepared. It will happen. But if you're not prepared, you'll get left behind. Mary and I have learned this in many ministries and many gifts, that if God has a purpose and wants something done, and you're not ready, you'll get left behind and someone else will do it. Because God wants it done, it will get done. If God has a purpose and a vision and something He wants done, it will be done. You may not get to do it if you're not prepared. God gave America a warning with 911. And don't think He didn't. Those buildings hold 40 to 50,000 people on the average day. They went down at a time of the day when there should have been 40 to 50,000 people in those buildings. A little over 4,000 perished. That's only a tenth of what could have perished. The next Sunday, and for the next 3 weeks, almost every church in this country was full. 2 months later, they were all empty again. There was only one church that was prepared that I have read about, and it's a church in Brooklyn called the Brooklyn Tabernacle. And the day that pastor saw those smoke on the towers, he got on the phone to every member of that church. They set up triages in that building. They sent people down to Ground Zero to start praying with them. They started ministering to their needs. They started praying for them. And not one person that came into that church during that period left. God gave me the honor to preach in Rock Springs the Sunday after 9-1-1. That church was full. I have never seen it since that date so full. I mean, there was faces I've never seen before. But because that church didn't have the infrastructure and wasn't ready, every one of those faces went away. Not one of them still there. They're all gone. God opened up doors for us to reach millions of people and we dropped the ball. We let it roll on by. We let that vision go. You want this building filled? You want the visions, personal visions in your life? Don't let them go. Don't let go. No matter how long it takes, prepare. God gave you a vision, start asking Him in this word, saying, "It's written, Lord, start showing me how to prepare." And He will. And when that happens, you are just gonna, your eyeballs are just gonna fall out of your head. You'll be so surprised. You won't think that far ahead. You can't, as it says, His thoughts are unsearchable. They're so wide, we can't get anywhere near them. God has so much for you, so much for me, so much for the kids, has so much planned. Our two twins, and I'll finish with this. We have five kids and our two twins. When they were younger, I have never, ever heard two girls harmonize so beautifully. When they sang, literally, heaven came down. I mean, it's beautiful. Everyone thought so. Neither one of them followed Jesus. They took their eyes off of Jesus. And I won't go into the details, but their lives are nothing that either their mother or I are proud of. But God had a vision for them. You know, the average person might hear the gospel 3, 4, 5 times in their lives. When these two walked away from Jesus, they've probably been preached the gospel by different people God sent them hundreds of times. They have probably heard the gospel more than anyone else in the world has ever heard it, that I can count, and yet they won't turn back. They took their eyes off the vision, and they followed the physical pleasures in the world. And now their lives are paying for it, sadly enough. And they're alive today because their mother and my common prayer is, give them one more day, Lord. One more day to come to You. Just one, Lord. One more day. Don't lose your vision. It's not pleasant when you do. Satan wants to take it away from you.
Hi, I'm Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor for His Will Ministry. We hope that you were blessed by today's message. You can write us at Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941. And send me your prayer requests online at mary@hiswillministry.org. We'd like to take the time right now to invite all of you who do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to come to Him today. It'll be the most important decision you'll ever make in your entire life. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto the Father but through Jesus. Salvation is through Jesus Christ alone, and a very simple process. You must repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of them. The next step is to ask Jesus to come into your heart and your life. You must then turn away from your life of sin to avoid going to hell, which is an eternal place of torment. You are now a new creation in Christ Jesus, born again. You should be baptized by immersion in water, and you must find Christian fellowship and begin Bible reading. We welcome you into the family of God. May God bless you with His mighty presence in your life today. And remember, your financial investment in this ministry sends the gospel of the good news around the world. Thank you, and God bless you.